Hey, welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, Jesse Carroll. I just want to touch on a couple housekeeping items. First off, I know I haven't dropped an episode in a couple of weeks. Christmas, New Year's, all of those, all two of those kind of got in the way. Really, I was just lazy and wanted to spend time with my wife and kid. So, not really going to necessarily truly apologize, but, you know, I wish I had had some material to give to y'all. Or thought ahead at least, but I didn't, and, you know, c'est la vie, that's life. So moving forward, I'm going to really be trying to hit every week. Also, I want to apologize for the poor audio quality in the last episode with Ross Bunchek. You could hardly hear anything I was saying or understand what I was saying. So I'm going to be doing everything in my power to prevent that from happening again moving forward in my when I do in-person interviews. Also, I want to apologize for the lack of ads, even though there were ad breaks in that last episode with Ross. I'm still trying to understand and learn how the podcast platform that I'm using, how it operates. So, sorry for that. Won't happen again. But I hope you thoroughly enjoyed this episode as much as I did. On this interview with Stacey Johnson, really, really great friend of mine, and I really enjoyed talking with her and learning more about her journey and her kind of where she wants to go and the progress she's made. So enjoy. All right. Welcome to the show. Today we got Stacey Johnson on with me remotely from Washington State. Stacey, how you doing?
Doing good. How are you doing, Jesse?
I'm doing wonderfully. Today we're recording on the day after Christmas. Stacey was gracious enough to make some time for this. Typically we drop an episode on Wednesday, but that was yesterday, which was Christmas, and I'm not about that life. No.
Not at all.
No. I think this is a casual enough podcast that we can be off by a day or so.
I mean, the listeners I know who are dedicated and following are probably a little disappointed, but
probably. I think so. It'll be all right. Stacey, thanks for joining us. Can you give us some background, give the listeners some background on who you are, kind of what you do, why I asked you to be on this podcast, kind of what makes your life and what you're doing relevant to what we're talking about?
Sure. So my name is Stacey. And so I would say, I think the biggest thing is most of my life, I have actually struggled with my weight. I've been overweight forever. I would say throughout high school and college, especially, I was always heavier than all of my friends. And then when I was in my early 20s, I just kind of hit a point where I was like, this is out of control. And I'm maybe 5'1 on a good day. But then I ballooned up to 250 pounds, which is just too much for my frame. And so I hired a personal trainer. And I lost about 80 pounds that I sustained for quite a while.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I maintained that for several years. I did experience a bit of weight regain in 2018. We'll dive a little bit more into that and I think what caused that. But still, I feel like I was able to have a lot of success with that. And really learn kind of what works and what doesn't, especially when you have a significant amount of weight to lose and not just trying to fine tune. And then I've also spent the last 4 years, I worked in mental health. I worked at a residential treatment center, which we specialized in treating anxiety and depression in teenage girls. Most of them they were definitely clinically diagnosed with anxiety and depression. Most of them had major suicide attempts or school refusal. So they come and stayed at our program for about a year. I was the program coordinator at that program for about 3 of those years. So I've seen also how mental health plays a really important factor in just overall healthy lifestyles.
Awesome. Yeah, no, it's been fun to watch your journey for the listeners' benefit, because Stacey and I have known each other for a long time. Well over a decade.
Yeah.
We really started hanging out in high school. She was my savior in math class. So,
but we've known each other through church for a long time. So it's kind of been cool to watch her journey and kind of seeing that the struggles, right? And it's real life. And it getting a hold of your health is not usually an easy thing, and getting into the right habits and the right mindsets. And most people have fallbacks, and they regain, or they start unhealthy unhealthy paths or habits, or get into a trend that's not something that's a trendy diet or something, but not necessarily the healthiest. And so it's interesting to see all that going on, but it's been cool to watch Stacey progress and to see that confidence showing through as she's doing well. That's been fun.
I've definitely tried all of those things like along the way. Sure. Some that have really flopped,
right,
and some things have really worked. And so it has been a journey. It has been fun. But yeah, Jesse and I have been friends for a really long time.
For some reason, she still wants to be my friend. I don't know.
You know what? You've been a good friend over the years.
Appreciate that.
So you were probably actually one of my first, like, you guys were like that little math study group. That was like my first time where I was like, these were like my like guy friends. Up to that point, okay. I was always like, yeah. It's like, I was always like people's like best girlfriend. And so you kind of took me in. And so it's kind of good for me. Anyways, we had a lot of fun.
Okay, we did. We certainly did. Oh, man.
Someone had to like keep you guys on track.
Oh, I was so ADD back then. And Sterling just had no motivation.
No.
Poor guy.
Hope he's doing.
He's doing okay. Yeah. All right. So what do you do specifically to increase your physical health? Like, I know diet plays into it, and I know you're pretty dedicated to a good workout routine, but like, what are the main things that you try to do to reach your goals?
So for me, really the biggest thing is consistency. You know, like I said, I've had several personal trainers over the years. I got my first personal trainer in December of 2015. And so I think that was a really important step for me, is being willing to recognize that I wasn't where I wanted to be and that I needed help. And so not being afraid to ask for help was really important in my, like, physical health journey. And so, like I said, I've had three trainers over the years. All of them have been really great in different ways. So the first one, though, that was one of the things that he really stressed all the time, was just be consistent, you know, focus on like that 80% on and like 20% off. You know, you don't need to be perfect, but if you have good days than bad, like, it'll add up. Yep. And just kind of trusting that process of being consistent. And so showing up not every day, but at least I try to aim for at least 5 days at the gym, be there 5 days a week. Not every workout has to be stellar, but just getting yourself there, being there. And then I think when it comes to diet, for me, the biggest thing is now in my journey, it's very different than I feel like when I started. Now I focus a lot more on, I think, food behaviors and addressing some of the problematic behaviors that I had before. I was very much kind of an emotional eater, a binge eater. I would eat a lot in secret and at night especially. And so now I focus a lot less on food, and I just focus on how can I fix the underlying behaviors that are at play. And then also for me, a big part of that was emotional. It's like, okay, I'm not dealing with my emotions like properly. So focusing on that as well and really feeling things.
I'm sure a lot of the underlying issues why you were why you had those unhealthy eating habits was a lot of it was emotions.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and that you were trying to just, I know I've never had to struggle with that, but I know people who have, and it's just they're just looking for to feel good. If they can't get their emotions right, then they're going to find some way to feel good. And then a lot of that, they turn to food for that.
Mm-hmm. And I think that was like a habit that I developed, you know, pretty kind of early on in life, is that sure. when things are difficult, you know, the comfort was, and it wasn't extreme back then. It was like, oh, like, well, I've had a really hard day. Like, let's go get ice cream. Right. You know, it's just, it started out pretty simple. And I think a lot of people do that. You know, they reward themselves like, oh, I made it through a hard day. I'm going to treat myself. And that, like, in moderation can be okay, but it's really right. easy for that to kind of get out of control. And yeah. for me, I think it did. And I was also, again, very much a like secretive eater. And I think a lot of that was, I, you know, just comparing yourself a lot to others. And so it's sure. like, I try and like keep up to people who are like eating throughout this, like the same amount throughout the day. And I'm like, okay, I'm trying to not overeat what they're doing. But then at the end of the day, I'd be starving, you right. know? So then I just like crash and burn. And so fixing all those behaviors, through time. Not being afraid to eat real food.
Right, exactly. No, I saw one of your posts a couple weeks ago, I think, where it's because the holidays are hard for you, right?
Yeah.
And you kind of had to change your mindset around that and just be okay. Like, oh, okay, I can eat this food and it's not going to ruin my progression and my goals, yeah, right?
Absolutely. I remember probably two or three Christmases ago, I was visiting family. I lived away from my family for several years, and so I traveled back for the holidays. And at that point, I had plateaued in my weight loss a little bit, and I was a little frustrated with it. And so I was working, you know, with my trainer, and I was photographing everything that I was eating and sending it. And it probably got a little extreme because I'm a little bit of a perfectionist. Sure. You know me well.
Oh yeah.
But then I came home and I was in a different environment. I didn't have all the foods that were familiar to me. And I remember standing in my parents' kitchen, just paralyzed. And that, I think, that was the first time that I really started developing food anxiety, where I felt like I couldn't eat anything because everything was against, like, I remember even just like looking at the cereal and being like, cereal has carbs. Like, and been like, can't eat that. And just
on a strict water diet.
But it almost felt that way. Everything was wrong at that point. I'm like, I don't have enough protein here. I just got so obsessed with eating clean and eating right. That was starting to, I had overcompensated.
Right.
Way too much. I had gone to a point where like, yes, you should be mindful about what you're eating, but not obsess about it. And that's sure. where I got in, where I was obsessing about everything. And that was the start of a turning point, I think, for me, was that moment, again, just paralyzed in my parents' kitchen, where I honestly started thinking, I'm like, I guess I just can't eat anything if it's not perfect. And so I've been working on fixing that.
Oh, it's good. No, it's that finding that right balance can be hard. And it's easy to get fixated on uncertain things and little facets that in the long term don't necessarily matter. But if you can't see past, you know, past your short term or whatever, it's it's hard to like really get through that. Going back a little bit, you're talking about your consistency and just, you know, going a few days, you know, 5 days a week. And that's a big thing that I try with the podcast and with like my social media postings and stuff. And I've mentioned this before in other episodes, but, that I'm pushing for that, being a proponent of that mentality. So just getting up and doing something. Your workouts yes. don't have to be like crazy, like you said, but just getting up, getting moving, keeping a habit of doing something.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of just thinking, oh, well, I missed a work. I missed my workout that day. It's over. Right. Yep. This week's gone. Like, no, I miss workouts all the time.
Well, and I also think like workouts don't just have to be at the gym.
Right. No, absolutely.
You know, and like there are so many active things that you can do yeah. and not getting in that fixed mindset of like, oh, if I didn't make it to the gym today, I wasn't active. Like, no, there are so many things that you can do. And for me, another thing too that I really, really strive for in my workouts is, and this is a shift probably in the last year and a half or so, is I try not to be at the gym more than an hour and a half maximum.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Because I used to spend, because that's actually one thing, as much as I've kind of been overweight my entire life, I've always been pretty active.
Yeah, you know, were always in sports in high school, track, yeah. You did soccer,
I did
like in
soccer,
middle school and stuff.
Yeah. I've always been an active person.
Yeah.
And so, And so even at the gym, as much as I like, I kind of love it, it's easy for me to overdo it.
Sure.
And I think that's also another common trend that people will experience, is that they'll go to the gym instead of like, oh, this is a healthy place where I get to work on developing myself and grow stronger. They'll go to punish themselves. Right. Like, oh, I ate too much today, so I need to go have a really heavy workout and go really hard. And I think that can be just as problematic of a behavior pattern. And so I actually try to limit, as much as I try to go consistently, I also try to limit, like, hey, I'm not going to spend more than, I try to hit an hour. I don't go over an hour and a half.
Right.
Because then, again, I just think that's problematic as well.
Well, unless you're, like, going in, like, competition or something, like, who needs to be at a gym for 2 hours?
Yeah, and I think that's a very different approach to when you're, like, training for something versus when you're just trying to adopt a healthy lifestyle and healthy habits. Like, those are such different approaches.
I agree. Is there anything else that you do to increase your physical health other than diet and regular exercise? Or what are some of the activities? You're talking about other things out of the gym. What are some of your favorite activities that you like to do outside of the gym?
I've definitely become a hiker.
Cool.
In the last few years, which I wasn't, I don't think growing up, that didn't appeal to me. I remember being younger, being so excited when we would like go to girls camp, we'd have to do a hike. I remember one year instead of our hike, we just went for a long walk on the beach, and I was like, this is my kind of hike, which it still would be. But now I really love a hard hike.
Right,
I recently, last summer, hiked Havasupai Falls in Arizona, which is a pretty big, like, 10-mile backpacking. Like, that was my first, like, 40-pound pack hike in, and that was fun. So I enjoy doing that. I like to paddleboard and just be on the water. I'm a big water person. So, yeah, I don't know. Just being outside.
Outdoor stuff, yeah.
Outside.
Yeah, I've loved that. When we were in going to college in Idaho, there was so much opportunity to hike. You know, the Tetons are right there, Yellowstone right there, there's everything right there. And we would go camping frequently and go on hikes all the time. And then we moved out to Wisconsin, and it's pretty flat out here. And there's hills and stuff. But when we moved out here, like, Becca was pregnant, and then Benji was born in June. And then, like, there's just so much stuff going on. And then we just got out of the habit of that lifestyle, and we just, unfamiliar area, didn't know the like, where the hikes were or the camping was and anything. So we haven't done any of that in 2 years almost, which is unfortunate. It's something we definitely want to do this summer. Now that he'll be 2 years old.
That's crazy. I still can't believe you guys took him. Like,
oh, when we went to Zion? For the listeners, we took our 9-week-old, flew with our 9-week-old from Wisconsin to Utah, to Southern Utah at Zion National Park, and just took him camping with us for a family reunion. And it was
a week.
For a week. Yeah. Becca was there with him for a week. I was just there for a few days, but he actually did really well.
He did so good.
Considering it was like 100, like almost 100 degrees during the day.
So hot.
He was just like laying around in a diaper the whole time.
He was more chill than like half of us. Like, half of us couldn't handle the heat, and he was like just chill as whatever. And
it was fun. That was really fun. But other than that, we haven't done any camping or hiking really.
Yeah.
So we're definitely going to be getting into that, because we do enjoy that as much, if not more so, than getting to the gym. And I also want to, because there's a lot of good bike trails around where I'm at, and so I want to get my road bike in order and my mountain bike going. We have a pull behind trailer, so bring Benji along. So I'd like to, do other things, not just confine myself to the weight room. What's that?
I rode my bike for the first time in like years, a couple months ago with my little niece. And I was like, this is so fun.
Yeah, it's awesome. I have a hard time, especially if Beck and I go on a bike ride together or something. Cause our approach to when she works out and wants to be competitive, or whatever, she kicks ass.
Yeah,
but if we're going together on things, like, we've tried running together and it doesn't work, because my idea of a run is more of a sprint and her idea of a run is more of a jog. And so I'm just gone and she feels like I'm just abandoning her. And same thing with, I'm sure it would be the same on a bike. I just, because when I'm doing something, I'm a personality of extremes. And so when I'm doing something, I'm doing it. Mm-hmm. And most people aren't at my crazy level. So it's not super compatible. But so that's something I definitely need to work on for myself when I'm doing group activities.
Remembering group.
What's that?
Remembering that it is a group.
Yeah, it's a group and not me with people behind me. Yeah. Oh, yeah. What do you do? Do you have a spiritual practice? I know you're religious and you're involved in your church, in the Mormon church.
But
as far as not necessarily religious practices, but spiritual practices, do you have it? Do you distinguish between the two, or are they kind of, I'm sure there's overlap for you?
They're definitely, of course, for me, intertwined.
Mm-hmm.
I do consider myself fairly religious. It is an important part of, I feel like, my identity. And I think that's where spirituality comes into play for me, is I really try to kind of connect with that spiritual side of me. Sure. Frequently. I consider myself definitely more of a kind of spiritual being having a human experience rather than a human who has spiritual experiences.
Okay.
And so I try to connect with that, whether that is, you know, at church, which I attend every week, whether that's finding quiet in nature. I think nature has a spiritual presence that is unmatched. Whether that's I try and spend a lot of time in kind of personal quiet reflection. I'm somebody who really does believe in personal revelation and that I can have direct communication, and that I've had so many times where I've felt impressed and just to go and do things, or I've felt an overwhelming amount of just love. And so finding frequent moments to be still and just kind of connect with what I feel like is really kind of my purpose and who I really am, which I believe is a child of God, and to connect with that identity and make sure that drives what I do and who I am, I think is really important to keep me grounded and to sure. not feel so overwhelming and stressed and chaotic.
Right. Yeah. No, having that thing to kind of bring you back to center is really important, whether that's your religion or whether that's, external spiritual experiences, meditation or whatever it is, just a thing that can just bring you back to center is extremely important. It's been interesting because, as you know, I'm not really in the church anymore.
No.
But finding, you talked about your identity, you identify as, you know, child of God or whatever, right? That I don't have that solid identity anymore. And so yeah. That's been an interesting transition mentally, emotionally, spiritually for me. Because I used to be able to say, I am this, I am, you know, because X, Y, Z. And now I don't really have that community to grab onto and to say, I belong to this tribe or this group as much as I used to. And that's, in some ways it's been extremely freeing for me, but in other ways it's been, somewhat isolating.
Yeah.
Because I don't have that group. And not necessarily it's saying it's a bad thing, but it's just been it's been an adjustment to learn how to rely on myself and my family, my immediate family, like Becca, to, as my group, and then some close friends that we've made here in Wisconsin. And it's just been interesting. And so and I've been more or less out of it, of the church, for a fair amount now, coming up on 2 years. And so when I talk to people like yourself who are still in and still have that community, that connection to the community and everything, part of me is reminiscent of mm-hmm. it, because I do miss it. And part of me is like, oh, I'm extremely happy where I am right now. Right. And so spirituality is such a personal journey.
It is.
And being able to find what works for you and what makes you happy and brings you legitimate joy, and not just being complacent with where you're at, but really actively trying to do stuff to better your experience in this life, and have those spiritual experiences to, because I still feel impressions, yeah, right, to say or do things, but I don't necessarily attribute those to God or the spirit anymore, but I still have those strong spiritual experiences where they're emotional. I feel emotions connected to them. And it's hard, not hard, but it's interesting. It's like I'm constantly thinking, it's like, man, is that God? I'm always analyzing those experiences. What's making me feel that way? Is it God? Is it, the universe? Is it just pure human connection? Is it just chemicals in my brain? What's actually going on when I have those feelings and feel those experiences and those emotions? And it's, I don't know. I've never done thinking about it, never done progressing or growing. Always trying to figure out what I believe. I'm very in the middle, kind of wishy-washy back and forth. I see the benefit, but then I see the things that were not good or healthy that I experienced. And that's just like, it's hard to pick a side when you can see both sides of it.
Absolutely. And something that's really important for me in my identity is, as much as, yes, I'm a member of a church, I belong to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and it's not something I'm afraid to say.
Sure.
I think more importantly, when I think of how I identify myself, that's not how I identify myself first. I identify myself first as someone who seeks after truth.
Cool.
And who seeks after things that are good. And I extend that to everybody. It's like, I believe that all of us are just seeking truth. We're right. just trying to do the best that we can with the knowledge that we have. And giving people that kind of benefit of the doubt, and not like compartmentalizing people into, these are members, these are non-members, these are believers, these are non-believers. And like, right. What? Everyone's just trying to find truth and do the best that they can with what they have, and that journey is going to look different for every single person.
Yeah.
But just being kind and being gentle with people, and realizing we really are all in this together, and none of us really know.
Right.
None of us really know.
We have our beliefs, whether it's, you believe there is an afterlife or you believe there's not, but like, who knows?
Who knows?
We have no freaking idea. We
really don't. We each have our own personal experiences that will make us believe certain things and continue to act in a certain way.
Right.
But at the end of the day, like,
I mean, from your side, it's faith. It's a matter of faith. Yeah. And I think people might push back on this, but I think to say that there's absolutely no God or absolutely no afterlife is also a statement of faith, because we don't have proof otherwise.
Yeah.
Some people think they have proof, and that's fine. They can believe that. I don't believe we have proof. That's why I claim to be agnostic, because I just don't know, right? I don't know anything. But I, like you said, extending that benefit of the doubt and showing kindness and compassion to people, and not just saying, oh, I'm right, you're wrong. I'm going to heaven, you're going to hell because we believe X, Y, and Z, right? Like, it's just, it's... I don't know, humans are really absurd when it comes to that, to just claiming complete knowledge on things. I don't know. I was guilty of it, whatever, back when I was in church, the whole, like, I know without a shadow of a doubt that this is whatever, right? And then I got to the point, I was like, oh, man, I don't know anything. I can't say that anymore. I feel, and then it got super frustrating at church when I heard other people say it. I was like, how can you? But I mean, people, like you said, people have their experiences, people have their beliefs and the things that lead to those beliefs. And I'm not criticizing one way or the other. It's just different mindsets and different viewpoints.
Yeah, I think it would be so beneficial if we just always kind of kept that in the back of our heads of like, but what if I'm wrong?
Right.
As much as I think, I think I'm onto something.
Right.
But what if I am wrong? What if they're right? Yep. And just leaving space for that. I think is so important. And I think that also keeps us from stunting our own growth, which I think can sometimes be a problem, maybe especially in organized religion or any kind of extreme viewpoint.
Yeah, I agree.
Is not leaving yourself open to continue to learn and grow, because that's really all I want
right.
as a person, is to continue to progress and to learn here a little, there a little.
Being willing to change your opinion based on new evidence, right? Yeah. Or new facts or new information. It's just so many people are so closed off to that. Mm-hmm. Whether it be religiously, politically, scientifically, whatever, there's so many human nature. We want to grab onto the thing that makes us feel good, and we want to hang onto that forever. Change is hard.
And we want something that we can hold on to.
Yeah.
So much, because everything else is changing so much, and there's mm-hmm. a lot of chaos. And so what can you cling to that isn't changing? And there's not really a whole lot.
Everything's changing.
And I think once you accept that and are willing to be flexible and to adapt in whatever it is, I know I've experienced that back on kind of like fitness and health, like sure. some things that worked for a while didn't work anymore because things changed in my life. And so I had to make adjustments. Like, you have to do that in every area of your life, including spiritually. It's like, is this still working? Am I in a rut? And am I still doing the exact same thing that used to work and it's not working anymore? How can I grow and develop and kind of expand? And usually that ends up working better for you
right.
than trying to just cling to something that used to work.
Yeah. And just digging. And then, I mean, you get the effect of the people who are hanging on and like not ever changing mm-hmm. when someone near them or close to them changes, mm-hmm. they just dig down and like hunker down and almost double their efforts. And get even more dogmatic and more critical and more and less, it comes across as less loving mm-hmm. a lot of the time. And so it's really difficult on relationships when there's a conflict there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's, I appreciate your viewpoint on that. There's a lot of, I think more of our generation mm-hmm. is leaning towards that.
Yeah.
That kind of that viewpoint and that mindset. Some of the older folks are struggling with that and struggle with our generation because we're open to so much more and tolerant to different groups of people that they disagree with, and that's a struggle. Mm-hmm. But it's good to hear that from someone who's active in the faith, in the church, and and still participating, but kind of trying to be a bridge and show compassion and love to others. So I appreciate that a lot.
Yeah, because I think that's kind of, I think the whole purpose of it is to remember, again, if I go back to that, what's my core spiritual kind of identity is that I'm a spiritual person. I feel like all of us are. And so as much as I have that identity of like, I'm a child of God, well, then so is everyone else.
Right.
So, like, if I feel like I'm have so much worth in the sight of God, like, so does everyone else.
Yeah.
And so being kind and being encouraging. I also, I believe in a generous God who's good. And so if he's good, then I should be too.
Right. Yeah. And I've said, I don't really have like a strong belief in God, but I have hope in God. Right. And the God I hope in is not the Old Testament God. He's not this guy who's going to tear families apart. We have such a, if there is an afterlife and if there's a God, we have such a limited, here on earth, have such a limited notion and idea of who we are as a human race, and how we, our minds operate, and how our, just how we work. And if God is controlling things and pulling strings, he understands all that way more and is way more compassionate than we could ever be. Mm-hmm. And we'll extend that compassion to us. That's my hope, at least. And yeah. He's not just some guy with a magnifying glass. Right.
But okay. I don't want to get like too like scriptural or doctrinal, but I also want to be like, but where is that even evidence in the scriptures of him being like,
being kind
or no, being or, like overly like magnifying glass, like, where's that? I haven't read that.
I look at some of the like the old Old Testament stories. There's some weird stuff that happens there, and I mean, if you crunch the numbers, God's responsible for millions of more deaths than Satan ever was in the Bible. So, I mean, like you said, we don't need to get into it. But New Testament God is a little more up my alley.
Yeah.
Right? So,
I'm just going to remain hopeful.
Yeah, right.
And trying to be nice to people and...
Right. Just being a good person as much as you can. Yeah, that's what I've had to take with me is because religion did give me a good starting point with some good guidelines for sure. And I've taken those with me and that's my goal is just to be a good person, be nice to people, have compassion, show love, and just try and, you know, put myself in their shoes and not make assumptions about them.
Yeah.
What do you do to promote mental health in your life? Because I know spiritual, I mean, it all plays together, right? Spirituality, physical, exercise, health, all plays into mental health as well. What do you do for yourself?
So they really are so intertwined. And one of the last things that you said about not judging people really, for me, kind of ties into also how I focus on mental health. Because I really try not to be overly judgmental of myself.
Sure.
I think that that's something that we almost do better at extending to other people. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we do a great job of doing that to ourselves. Because again, this is part of my spiritual identity. I don't even think we fully understand everything that's against us and all the things that we're dealing with when that comes to mental health. It's like, I can look back in my life and reflect on periods that have been like darker and I'm like where I can see that was clearly depression.
Sure.
In the moment I didn't see it, yet I was being so overly hard on myself. But there were so many other factors that were going to play that even I didn't recognize in the moment. And so trying to be a little bit kinder and more gentler to ourselves, being like, you know what, there's probably even more going on here than I even realize.
Right.
And so I do a few things when it comes to mental health. I think exercise is a huge one for me. That really does help my mental health. That's actually probably the biggest reason why I go to the gym, is because I enjoy it and I feel better when I go. I'm a pretty avid journaler. That's a great way for me to get my emotions out. Is to
process,
write
kind of process your feelings and thoughts.
Yeah. And it also is good for me because then I can start to identify trends.
Oh, sure.
Thinking and being like, you know what? I can see that I'm starting to turn a little bit. Because I would consider myself actually a fairly optimistic, kind of happy person. I think that's how people describe me. That's how they've described me my entire life. I've been someone who's kind of smiley, always happy, but that's also not realistic.
All the time, right?
And so for a while I almost felt like there was that expectation of like, you need to be happy all the time. It's like, that's not real life.
Right. I've had similar experiences throughout my life as well, so I'm there with you on that.
Yeah, and I almost for a while like would push back against anyone who would call me optimistic, because I associated that with like, oh, you're happy all the time. And I think just more recently I've kind of come back to, you know what, I am an optimistic person for the most part. I really do. I'm pretty hopeful and I have a lot of confidence in the future.
Sure.
Sometimes don't have a lot of confidence in the present, like in the moment, but I have a lot of confidence that things work out and there are still good times ahead.
Right.
I have a lot of confidence in that. So I definitely, I think, would fall into the optimistic category. But letting myself, I think, feel things has been the biggest breakthrough, I think, for me in emotional health. I was living in my last place. I had three roommates, so there was the four of us, and I was definitely known as the emotional one, which I would say 10 years ago didn't describe me at all. I wasn't very vulnerable. Like, I kind of kept things pretty close. Didn't talk about how I was feeling really ever. Was pretty independent, didn't reach out for help very often. And so that's been an important part of my mental health is being willing to talk to people and getting help when you need it, and just letting myself feel things and not trying to numb it out with either food or attention from, you know, from guys or something like that. I've done lots of things to numb things out, and not letting myself do that, letting myself feel things instead.
No, I think that's really important, because, I mean, if you don't, if you just try blocking it, you're not able to process it at all mentally. You just kind of shove it back or stuff it down or whatever, just trying to not deal with it, right? Being able to show that vulnerability is really, I think, a key factor, because if you're not able to be vulnerable with yourself, then who can you be vulnerable with, right?
Right.
And no one's going to be able to, even if they want to help, they can't, because you're not going to let them.
Right. I think that gets back to, again, really focusing on, are you treating symptoms or are you treating like the root cause?
Right.
And if you're not willing to go there, then it's not going to change. You're just going to block it out for a while and it's always going to come back. And so getting down to those, like, okay, what's really causing me, you know, either like pain or frustration or feeling exhausted. I think that's another thing. I'm a big fan of getting sleep.
Yeah.
This seems to be a common topic on your channel, getting enough sleep. I'm a really big fan of getting
I never do.
I do.
That's good. No, that's good. I never get enough sleep.
Even as much as for years, you wake up freakishly early. Stupid. But I was one who would go to the gym at 5 o'clock in the morning for a while, or 4. I've done that. But like really going to bed then at like 8 o'clock.
God, that's so boring sounding though.
I know. And the fear of missing out was real.
Oh, like, FOMO, for sure.
Oh, it was so real. I would hear people like laughing outside my door and I'm like, I just want to go out and be a part of it. But I also knew how much like I need sleep to restore, right, to give my body a chance to recover.
Yeah. Well, that's, and it's good to recognize that with yourself, right?
Yeah.
I just quench those tired symptoms with coffee. But I mean, you knew me in high school, right? I was always, my schedule is just absurd. So I've always just never slept. So it's kind of,
you should try it.
Well, I do. When I get 8 hours of sleep, I feel more tired than I do when I get 5.
It's because you're not used to it. Do it for a month. You need a challenge.
I know. I probably should do better at it. But then the thing is, I can't go to bed at 8. I get home at like 4:35 from work, mm-hmm. and then like kid, cleaning house, doing all the, you know, the adult shit. And then it's like 9 o'clock. I'm like, well, you got 5 hours to go and then I'm up, right? So it's like I don't even have like time to get enough sleep if I want to work out and see my kid. So it's and that's why I do allow myself my days where it's like, I get up and my alarm goes off. I'm like, nah, not today. Yeah. Or I'll do something else. I'll meditate or read or, you know, whatever it is. Just do something else to kind of benefit my mental health. Mm-hmm. Have you done therapy?
I haven't necessarily, but again, I did work in a mental health facility for about 4 years. Okay. And the first year that I worked there, I was a youth counselor, not a therapist. We were just there. We kind of supported the girls, helped kind of teach them coping skills. And so one of the best parts of that job was we got to participate in group therapy.
Okay.
And that was actually really good for me.
Like as a supporting role for the girls in the group?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, very good.
They would have group therapy and they had therapists. We had our own team of therapists who met with the girls. And then they would have group therapy every single day in addition to their individual therapy. And so as a youth counselor, you participated in it. Oh. And so they would have lots of different groups. Like they had a relationships and boundaries group. They would have a body image group. They would have like an internet safety group. They would have a DBT group. So lots of different types of groups. So I got to participate in that. And then just being kind of in a therapeutic environment.
Yeah.
I think actually really helped me.
Well, because you're able to glean the information that the therapists were giving to the clients, and you were able to you know, and kind of apply that to yourself.
We got to participate, which was kind of great. Like, you know, like we could add comments, you know, we could,
that's awesome.
Again, we weren't there to like overtake it because we weren't the ones there, but they wanted our opinions. They wanted the girls also to see kind of role models,
because
we weren't much older than them,
yeah.
You know? And so realizing that, hey, you know, we struggle with things too. We're not perfect.
Right.
Helping break down, I think, those expectations that they had, really like, no, this is just part of human experience. Like
nobody has their crap together.
No one does. No one does. Everyone has something. Like we're all going through it.
Oh, yeah. God knows I could go to a therapist.
Yeah, I think everyone could. I know I would benefit. Hands down, I would benefit. Everyone would benefit. I don't know. In some ways, I almost feel like having a personal trainer was like having a therapist too.
Sure. Well, in a certain way, I bet. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a big help for me. So I never have gone to therapy, but I would be open to it.
Sure.
And I think all of us would benefit. Yeah. And then I think another thing too, for me, when it comes to like mental health and really managing it, something that I wasn't all that great at, when I was younger, is setting more clear boundaries.
Oh yeah.
I think setting boundaries is huge. I think setting boundaries kind of with yourself is also huge, and being able to say no to
being able to hold yourself accountable to those boundaries is difficult, right? And that's why like personal trainer or counselor or someone you can like have as a soundboard or some feedback, right? That accountability, or just a friend even, just saying, hey, checking in with them.
Yeah. Well, because it's interesting. I feel like anytime you're doing something, like as much as it should just be enough to just do it for yourself, like,
right,
it usually isn't.
No. Or go ahead. Sorry.
I feel like as soon as you have like another person or another, just like if you add like a relationship aspect to it, someone else is either counting on you, whether it's a spouse or a friend, or in some ways, even for me, it's like, well, that person, that trainer is going to show up at 6:30. They had to wake up early. Like I have to be there. If they have to wake up early, I have to wake up early.
Right.
Just having almost another person beyond just yourself. Cause it's so easy, I think, for us, unfortunately, to flake on ourselves.
Oh yeah.
Like,
absolutely. No, it's been nice. Cause, when I wake up in the morning on the days that I don't go to the gym, my wife will be like, are you being a bitch today? yeah. But I'm going to own it. I'm going to get some more sleep. So if I'm like waning, she'll like kind of like kick me in the back a little bit and like, stop being stupid. Get out of bed, go to the gym.
Yeah.
Cause she knows I want to go. She knows my goals. She knows I want to be there. And it's nice to have that support. Mm-hmm. And like, to your point, like, humans have always been motivated by extrinsic influences, right? External influences are probably one of the largest motivators for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so letting someone know our expectations for ourselves, and in turn they become expectations from them. And then now we have that as well.
Yeah. I think also, you know, I can't speak for myself because I don't have any children or a spouse, but I think also having like reasons to do it, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, I want to be healthy because I have a family,
right?
You know, and I want to be there for them, and I want to be able to play with my kids all the time, and having that be a motivator, I think, is probably huge.
My motivator in that regard is, I mean, yeah, like my body is falling apart if I'm not like strengthening it. My knees hurt, back hurt, like all this stuff. So that's super important. But another motivator is I want my children to see me being proactively healthy. And going and doing things, and not that weight is necessarily the one thing that needs to be like the measurement, right? Yeah. But I it's a goal of mine to not get overweight. Do I like washboard abs? No, not at all. Yeah. Not even close. But it's, I want to at least maintain where I'm at and just stay strengthened. So having that example for my kids is really important, so they're motivated to do that as well and see the importance of staying physically healthy.
Mm-hmm. It's been interesting that you say like you don't want them to like see you as overweight, which is an interesting thing, because like, sorry to go back from that, but
no,
like,
that's fine. My
entire life I've only been overweight.
Yeah,
that's only how people know me. And so in some ways, like, it's been interesting to switch from being such a like appearance focused motivation for me. So I think that's how I started. I was like, I want to lose 100 pounds because I definitely had 100 pounds to lose.
Right.
You know, and you know, I wanted to look a certain way, and changing from that, like that isn't my motivation, like at all.
Sure. Anymore. No, and thank you for calling me out on that, because that's not necessarily like the thing. Like I said, cause the weight doesn't need to be the measurement that people view it, but that, I mean, my dad's been overweight my whole life, so that's been kind of something. I mean, you often want to end up being like, I don't want to be like my parents in this aspect, right? And that's one of the aspects. I want to be able to stay healthy, weight, but in muscular strength and just like physical ability. Because he would try and go on bike rides or hikes and stuff and like hurt his knee. And he there was a lot of times he couldn't do the things he wanted to do because of physical limitations. Yeah. And so that's a big thing for me, because I do want to be able to go do those fun things and jump around and play around with my kids. And I'm also a little bit vain, so I don't want to look a certain, right? There's a bunch of ands, right? Yeah. There's a bunch of motivators there. So, but yeah, no, it's interesting, you know, everyone has their different things that they're wanting to, their goals or image they want to hit.
Because, like, it's interesting, you know, one thing that surprised me kind of on my fitness journey, which is something I don't think you've talked about yet kind of on this podcast, is, again, I went from somebody who my entire life was kind of, like, overweight, never really had any attention, and then I lost a lot of weight, and it was interesting how I was perceived differently once I lost weight.
Can you go into that a little more? I'm curious.
For one, I think definitely, especially when it came to like relationships, I was viewed very differently. Like, I know there's a certain weight, like kind of number, that when I hit that, when I start to fall below it, I start to get treated differently, and it's very real. It's like,
I'll go in relationships or just day-to-day interactions?
Interactions. Okay. Like, there have been times, again, when I fall below a certain number, like if I walk into a restaurant, like I start to get, like, people will offer to pay for my meals, or people or I'll get stopped in the grocery store and people will try and get my phone number. And it's just a very different experience from when I'm heavier.
Sure.
And it's a very kind of tangible difference. And even just, I feel like how I'm approached when I'm heavier, people, like, especially, I was always like the best friend and someone people confided in.
Oh, sure.
And then it switched to, like, I feel like then, especially, again, I'm in the dating scene, then it switched to like purely people were only interested in things that were physical. And then I was like, wait, but like, I'm a cool person that just likes to like joke and chill too.
Right.
And like having those two extremes when you go from being like very overweight to a much more normal weight range, like it's very different experiences.
Sure.
And yeah, there have been some times too where it's like, in some ways I've used my weight as a way to kind of like protect myself as a barrier to be like, you know, I don't want the attention.
That's fair. And
so that's been an interesting journey to get away from the physical appearance part of it and being like, why am I really doing this? And making sure it's always for kind of an internal reason.
You're not doing it for the attention or for the
free
meals or whatever, right?
Got kind of hooked on the attention for a while and it wasn't a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, if you've gone from not having that, and I'm sure you wanted that on some level growing up, right?
We all want connection,
right?
You know, that like such a human part of our experience is want to connect with people. And you know, it's another part of, I guess, my deep-seated kind of beliefs is that we're not meant to be alone,
right? Oh, for sure.
So of course, like, we crave that kind of connection and we want it.
Yeah No, I can't blame you for all of a sudden you have it, you're like, what? This is amazing.
It was in some ways, like I said, drastic. Like, just, I felt like how I was treated differently.
It is interesting. I mean, as a society, we're so focused on body image and especially women. There's so much unfair expectations on women to look a certain way and to be below a certain weight. When when in reality, I mean, you can still be healthy and over, I mean, you know, quote unquote, overweight. There's still healthy people out there that aren't skinny, right?
Yeah.
So we're just so focused on the aesthetics and not like the actual like data of that person's health.
Yeah. And again, I feel like, you know, back when I was younger and again, when I was heavier, I felt like people cared a lot more about my mind.
Oh, sure.
And, you know, I was always considered kind of smart. I was right. Academically motivated. We were in a study group together for a reason.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
And so I felt like people cared a lot more about what I had to say. And then as I started to lose weight, I feel like people cared a lot more about what I looked like. And
it's unfortunate.
And it was an interesting switch. What about what I have to say? What about my thoughts and my opinions and you know, my sense of humor? Like, why don't those things matter anymore? You just care about you care more about my body than my mind. And that was that was frustrating for a while.
Sure. Oh, I can imagine. Yeah, that's interesting that you were able to see such a tangible like definitive line, like on this side of it didn't happen, but on this side of it did. That's crazy.
Yeah. So that was an extra piece of kind of the mental.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
That I didn't anticipate when I first started.
Yeah.
It's something that I really kind of had to deal with, and work through.
Well, and that's interesting because I know people more from a distance that have been in relationships or marriages that, and they've lost weight.
Yeah.
And then they end up getting a divorce because they cheated cheated on their spouse. Because I don't think just like that, you weren't expecting it. I don't think they're expecting all that attention either. And then when people do see them losing weight and looking trimmer and more healthy, from a visual standpoint, that's attractive. And I've, like I said earlier, I've seen your confidence increase as you've gotten healthier, right? And so that confidence shines through, and people are attracted to confident people. And so it's you have to be careful. Everyone should be careful when you're going through a transformation like that, because things are going to change, whether they should or not. It's irrelevant, honestly, because they are. Things do change. People do treat you differently by how you look and how you present yourself. It's just the sad reality of it.
Yeah, but I also think that's like one of the best things that I gained through all of this.
Sure. Yeah.
Was a sense of confidence. And it wasn't just necessarily confidence in how I looked now, but it was confidence in, I gained this entire new skill set.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Confidence. I achieved something that was difficult, and that gave me confidence.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't necessarily because my jean size was smaller. You know, like, that doesn't give you confidence. It's the being able to accomplish something and gain that skill set that I think comes. Because I do think there's a difference between self-confidence and self-esteem. I think they're different.
Sure.
And because I always felt like I always kind of liked myself. I just wanted everybody else to like me too.
Right.
And so developing that confidence by sticking with something, having success, I think that was the biggest thing that I gained. And that's why I continue to go back to the gym, is I like the sense of accomplishment when I can feel a difference, because I'm more interested in feeling different and not just looking different.
Yep.
And when all of a sudden, when you can lift something heavier, I remember the first time I deadlifted over 200 pounds, like just being so stoked. I'm like,
yeah,
that's more than I weigh.
Right. That's awesome. The other day I just leg pressed 630 pounds. I was like, what? Like that's a lot of weight. I didn't know I could do that.
Yeah,
it's something that kind of a confidence boost. Like, oh, okay, cool. I can move really heavy stuff. Awesome. Yeah.
But are your legs, do they look any different?
Probably. Yeah, they're looking a little different.
Okay, I'm excited for you. Yeah. But for me, yeah, it's the confidence comes from what I can do.
Sure. Right. No, and I think that's an important. Everyone gets their confidence from different things, right? One person may get confidence from they're noticing their size, their jean size going down. Another person, it's based on, oh, I could lift this much this week, and now, you know, the next week I can lift this much. You know, seeing that progression. We all get our confidence from different aspects, and one's well, I mean, depending on how fixated you get on one or the other, it might be, you know, might play into, you know, healthy attitudes and approaches, but one's not really wrong versus another. No, that's awesome. That's I'm glad you. It's been really cool to see that confidence shining through and seeing your change and your outlook on things improve. That's been good. I'm glad you're able to do that. What's the weirdest? What's that?
I'm just glad I can do more than I used to.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. I mean, be able to to see, like, I track on my phone. I have an app that I track all the weights, like how many sets, how much weight I do for those reps or whatever. And so I can look back and like, what was I doing last, 2 months ago? Oh, okay. Like I've actually increased by like 15, 20 pounds or whatever. It's like, oh, that's cool. It's nice to have that tangible like data to look back on. What's the weirdest health trend that you've encountered or heard about? You said you've done several different attempts, whether it be diet or exercise things, but what's the weirdest one?
The weirdest ones that I've heard of, I think I watch a lot of health videos all the time. Sure. Because it's something that I'm interested in, and I want to keep growing and learning and getting better. And so I stumbled, this is probably a year ago now, I stumbled across, have you heard of like Jilly Juice?
Jilly Juice?
Jilly Juice.
No, I have not. I'm worried though.
It's awful. It's basically this really disgusting mixture. It's mostly just salt that people will drink. It's gross. They hate it. But what it causes them is to just have like massive diarrhea all the time.
Oh, okay. So you just poop the fat away? Is that the idea?
And it's just like that to me. And I feel like that's an extreme example, but like I think you see that a lot kind of in culture, is just like juice cleanses are doing something. Just right. Like stop eating real food.
Yeah.
To just do this really quick to lose weight, but especially that, just drink all this salt and poop it out. Like, what do you think that's fixing?
Right. Like nothing.
And the claims that she made that it could like cure everything, like it could help you regrow limbs and cure cancer and cure homosexuality and all these like insane claims from drinking this like just overly salted, disgusting diarrhea juice. was
it's
probably
funny.
Absurd.
I heard similar claims to this, what was it called? It's like miracle something. It ended up being bleach. Like they were feeding their, it was like some religious group that was like force feeding bleach to their children. They're like, yeah, it cures homosexuality and cancer and like regrows limbs. Like what is going on? I'll have to get more information on that one. Children. Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. So just high amounts of salt. Humans are wired to try and be the most efficient possible, right? Get things done quick. We like cutting. We tend to cut corners because we're trying to be more efficient and to accomplish goals quicker, right? There's the get rich quick schemes. There's the lose weight fast schemes. Like we're always looking for the next easiest thing to accomplish a goal. But when it comes to health, there's no quick, easy thing. It takes work. It takes dedication. It takes focus. It takes paying attention to what you're eating, making sure you're getting your healthy amounts of nutrients. You're not just going to be able to like flush it all out of you and remain healthy. It's not a sustainable thing. And then even if you do lose weight, there's trends. Like, I don't know. There's a keto, there's Mediterranean. Those are more like Mediterranean is more like changing your, like what you're eating rather than like cutting back on like everything like keto does. Right. But like, I've never done it. I know a couple people who have. They lose weight, right? It's effective for that. But is it a sustainable diet for the rest of their life? And most likely not. They're gonna regain the weight. I don't know. You said you had a time where you regained. Was that kind of one of the reasons you did something and it worked, and then it wasn't sustainable?
So like I said, I lost I think about 80 pounds, like at my lowest, and I would say about 70 of those pounds I lost. I feel like in a really healthy, sustainable way where I ate pretty just Whole Foods, and I just tried to eat in moderation. No big secret here. I really didn't cut out any specific food groups. Again, I just tried to eat Whole Foods in moderate portions.
Right.
And it was really successful for me for a really long time. And then my weight plateaued. And I think there were a couple contributing factors to that, too. I think just kind of naturally it just does. I also changed jobs. Job titles. Okay. I had a job where I was like really active and I was moving. It was when I was working in the treatment center. So I was with the girls. We were active. We were doing stuff all the time. To then I was promoted into an administrative position. So I was sitting a lot more and I was at the computer all along. So just kind of that combination of, yeah, I've been losing weight for a really long time. It's naturally going to slow down. And then my lifestyle changed a little bit. So it just, I stalled for a while. And I really wanted to like, kickstart my weight loss again, and one of my friends had posted about how she had like lost 40 pounds. She was a good friend, you know, and she was on this program, and so she was talking about it, and I was like, you know what, like I really want to start kind of like getting back on track. Like I want to, like I still have goals that I wanted to achieve. This is when I was still pretty numbers focused on the scale. I was like, I have like I really wanted to hit that 100-pound benchmark. And so I did a program with her where basically I was eating maybe 1,000 calories a day, and most of it was just like meal replacement bars. Ate one like real meal a day with like food, actual food, and it was mostly just vegetables. You couldn't have any fruit, you couldn't have any carbs really, you just have protein and vegetables. And again, I was maybe hitting about 1,000 calories. And yeah, I did lose about 10 more pounds and I got down to like my smallest I'd ever been. But I really noticed how it affected like my workouts. I would show up so much more tired. I would get lightheaded. Right. That's not like me. I've never been somebody who's really ever felt like lightheaded. Right. I've never fainted in my life. And so I noticed with that I didn't feel good. As much as I was losing weight, which is, again, I guess what I wanted, I didn't feel good. And not only that, it was also really isolating. Sure. I think that's one thing I think with weight loss that I don't think people talk about is when you have a diet that's almost too strict and you feel like you can't participate with like your friends and your family and social events.
Right.
I would, instead of having to just not eat anything there, I just wouldn't go. So I wouldn't be tempted to eat something that I can't. And so I just isolated myself. And that's not good for your mental health either.
No, not at all.
And so it's just this kind of like double whammy of like, I can't eat any food. I'm never hanging out with people I like, and I don't feel good. Why am I doing this?
Yeah.
And so unfortunately though, then I went to the other extreme. Like after that, after I decided I was done doing that, it's like, I'm just going to eat food again. Like, this isn't worth it.
Right.
You know, like being, having a number lower on the scale isn't worth having to sacrifice all of this. Like, I'm okay at this weight. Like, I'm okay with my body. I like what I can do. And so I got off of that program. I also got into a relationship right after that. And so I really stopped going to the gym because we were having fun. We were doing things. And it was fun. You know, we ate a lot of cheese fries and they were delicious. We've been eating this really awful protein bars. And so I went from one extreme to the other of like, I'm eating nothing to like, I'm holding nothing back. Sure. And so I gained about 30 pounds pretty quickly.
Okay.
And it's crazy how fast it can get back.
Doesn't your body like kind of retain, like have memory? So it doesn't take anything to get that back.
I don't even have to think about it. It's so funny. Like, yeah, there was a while where it's like, I definitely kind of have to stick to what works for me.
Right.
So I remember like, even when we keep talking about this, when we went to Zion, like I was hanging out with all of you guys. We're doing really active things. I'm eating like you guys. I gained weight at Zion.
Did you really?
Yes.
I'm so sorry.
And I'm like, how is this possible? Like, these are all my fit friends. Anyways. And so, you know, you have to learn your body. You have to learn what works.
Oh, sure.
And, I was like, this isn't fair. But that was still kind of the end of, like, I was still kind of in, like, my my weight gain of I had gone from one extreme to the other. So yeah, my body was kind of in this like, yes, we're gonna hold on to all of it because you're finally feeding us again.
Right.
So yeah, just avoiding that extreme of, you know, feed your body.
Right.
Feed your body good things. Yeah. I think I feel like there's a big trend right now in a lot of things of just like meal replacements of eating these bars or these supplements. Right. And while I think they can be an aid, I think you got to be careful.
Right. It's be pretty strategic.
They're not. But first and foremost, you just eat food. Eat real food. Eat real food that's nutritious and good for you, that comes from the earth.
Yeah. Plants and animals. Just eat plants and animals and you'll be fine. Right.
So that was probably the worst for me, was again just overly restrictive, not eating food. Don't do that.
Okay, good.
But I lost weight. But it wasn't worth it.
Wasn't worth it. No, for sure. I think it's important to bring up the isolating factor, because even as you said, you took yourself out of those situations. I'm sure. Did other people know that you were on a diet?
No, I hit it pretty well. Okay. I would have the one meal that I would have, I would strategically do it, like, because I was working, and so would watch my meal most of the time, especially if I knew it was going to be kind of a social ish where I had obligations around lunch. I'd make sure that was my meal, and it was usually just like a salad, which isn't too bizarre.
No,
but like the rest of my meals, I'm eating a 100 calorie protein bar, and then trying to work out for an hour and a half.
Right.
Like,
no.
Come on.
It doesn't work. No, but the I'm sure people, if people know that you're on a diet, a strict diet, I'm sure it's isolating that way too. They're like, oh well, they can't do it, so we may not invite them, right?
Yeah.
And so that's unfortunate that's a result of that, right? But I think it is important to talk about, to bring that up. So thank you for doing that. What is your, do you have a cheat or like a guilty pleasure, like your thing? Like you talked about like being careful about, you know, rewarding yourself for a hard day or whatever. But is there something you, that just that one thing that you know you shouldn't eat, but you're going to do it and you're not going to feel bad about it?
It's so basic that like I have no self-control around a pizza. And it doesn't even have to be good pizza. It doesn't.
Like, Little Caesars and you're still down?
Down
or
bagel bites and I'm in, like
that's awesome.
Like, or really good pizza, I like that too. I like,
sure,
I'll take it all. But yeah, I can't say no.
That way with the donut,
two slices, they better be like one half in the other. that's my two. So yeah, I'm always down for pizza.
Well, I mean, everyone's got their thing, so that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's funny. Cool. Well, time's about up. Do you have any social media that you'd like to plug or anything else you want to talk about?
I do. So I do have a fitness account. It's called Stace First Plates. That plates is kind of a double meaning. I like to weightlift. I like to lift heavy, so I like to stack up those plates on there. And so I have a big goal this next year. I'm trying to hit a 300-pound deadlift, So right now I probably lift about 235, but I want to start kind of at 200 and add about 10 pounds per month. Another reason why I call it plates is something that's kind of weighed a bit heavy on my heart as I've gone through this fitness journey is I think about, like, I've spent a lot of my life really, really overeating and overindulging. And I think of there's a lot of people who have gone without and who are hungry. And so giving back to those that are hungry is also important to me. And so as I'm kind of on this journey of I want to hit 300 pounds with those 10-pound benchmarks for those months that I don't reach it. So for my first month, I'm aiming for 200. If I don't hit 200, then I plan on donating $200 to my local food bank because I want to give back. And I also do just donate very regularly. I think I'm going to continue to try and donate about $50 a month, regardless of whether I hit that goal. But that's awesome. I like having a benchmark of something that I think deadlines are important. So having things to look forward to. So I, like I said, I like to lift heavy. I like to try and give back again. I think hunger is something that can be completely avoided in this country. And so since I know that I've kind of been over doing that, I want to try and help those who have been on the opposite end and kind of give back to those in need. So follow me at Stace First Place. And this next year, we're going to go on a deadlifting journey and hopefully help out a lot of people.
That's awesome. That's really cool. And I'll link to her Instagram page in the show notes. Also, as always, I like to plug the Suicide Prevention Hotline for mental health, 1-800-273-8255. And again, as mentioned in the last episode, they're coming out with a 3-digit emergency suicide prevention hotline number. So I'll be announcing that when they finalize that as well. Stacey, thank you so much for coming on the show. Really appreciate you sharing your journey and your story with us. And have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
Hey there. Hope you enjoyed that episode. I know I thoroughly enjoyed speaking with Stacey and getting to know her even more than I already do. Like we talked about, we're really good friends all through high school and through college. And we've been able to keep that friendship going, and it's been really cool to see, like I talked about, to see her confidence increase the more she was able to reach goals and to really take hold of her life and put her life in the trajectory and that tack that she really wanted to take, whether it would be losing weight or just eating healthy. I mean, her spiritual health and emotional and mental health are in good places. It's just really motivating to see that. And I know a lot of other people can benefit from hearing her story and how she's able to move forward. You know, for me, it was a matter of just doing it, right? I know that's not always the case with especially with mental health. Emotional health is not, you can't just rub dirt in it or just pull yourself up by your bootstraps and move forward. But on some level, there are decisions that need to be made to start a program or to start setting goals and achieving and reaching those goals. And so it's really cool to see and hear Stacey's story. And I know a lot of people can benefit from hearing that. Just want to plug Stacey's Instagram. It's at Stace Verse Plates. So StaceVsPlates. So Stace Verse Plates, whether that's a food plate or whether that's a weight plate, kind of a play on words from what she said. So follow her on Instagram to continue following her journey and seeing her grow and progress. Moving forward, if anyone knows anyone or has any ideas of topics they'd like to hear or people that they'd like to hear on this episode, please send me their information and send me the topic, whether that be on Instagram at health_in_the_navel or on Facebook at Health in the Navel or at healthinthenavelpodcast@gmail.com. I would love to hear your input and to get people on here that you want to hear from and hear talk topics that you want to hear about. So please help me build this podcast and push it forward with getting great people, get great guests, and great topics on here. Thanks.